This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by Geek Fuel. They ship out a mystery box for geeks, gamers, and Star Wars fans each and every month. Make sure you check it out and get your free, that's right, free bonus Star Wars item with your first box when you go to geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report and sign up. Also, Entertain Art Official, licensed, ready to hang wall art for your collection. They have an amazing selection if you go to StarWarsReport.com/art. That's StarWarsReport.com/art. Use discount code SWR20 for 20% off. On with the show! Coming up on the Star Wars Report podcast, we recount our time at Walt Disney World for the amazing tribute to Carrie Fisher. We'll give you the details starting right now. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is the Star Wars Report podcast. Man, welcome to the Thursday edition. We've got a great show for you guys lined up. We're going to talk Disney, we're going to talk Star Wars, and we're going to talk about the princess. The Star Wars Report podcast starts right now. You're right, it does. It's the Star Wars Report podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. So glad you've decided to tune in on this, again, like I say, special Thursday edition, now that we're given a whirl at this thing twice a week. I'm your host, Riley Blanton, and let's not waste any time. He's across the country, but here in my heart. It's the one and only Mark Herleman. How's it going, Mark?
I am. It's weird sometimes to think about how far across the country we are. I was like telling my wife, you know, George is one of the 13 original colonies. Like, if we would ever move anywhere, like, you know, like that'd be kind of like historic.
Home of
we're
Dragon
really close
Con.
To Disney World. Like, do you ever watch and see how often Riley gets to go to Disney World? And like, he's going to go to all these cool places and stuff. Like, maybe we should move over that way. But then I'm like, well, you know, I could sit over here and I can still get the same kind of live vicariously through Blanton environment that we love and cherish so much.
No, it's fun. It's doable. It's not that bad. It's like 5.5 hours to Disney, and we'll tell you guys about our trip. I also want to bring in for this conversation our good buddy, a fantastic and also home of one of the 13 original colonies, Georgia resident Bruce Gibson. What's going on, Bruce?
This is the third original colony I've lived in. I've lived in Maryland, Pennsylvania, and now Georgia. And I'm surprised that Mark didn't mention one thing about living in Georgia.
Yes.
And that is he would have a warmer garage to podcast in.
That's true. And I'd be closer to the zombie capital of the world, right?
Like,
sure. Yeah. No.
It might be a little too warm in the summer.
Exactly. And I'll tell you what, it's a comfortable like 60 degrees. We have nothing to complain about here. Let's also bring on for the program the feature presentation, really. Who are we kidding? You guys who are watching at facebook.com/Star Wars Report, you've been seeing her in studio standing next to me. It's my sister. Executive editor here at the Star Wars Report at large and all around awesome Star Wars fangirl. What's going on, Bethany?
Well, not much. Well, actually, a lot, but school, art.
I was going to say, wait a second, a lot.
All of these things.
We have a few things, just a few things in the old hopper.
Little bit.
Yeah, it's been a fun time. So here's the deal, what we're doing. It's a little bit, like I say, experimental, where we're doing these Thursday episodes. Last week, of course, we had an amazing, thanks to the genius last-minute editing and recording skills because of some conflicts we had, Mark put together this great presentation to relive Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, where we featured some of the audio of us being watching that original trailer. Joey, we're home. So check that out if you haven't. I'm really excited to have these opportunities to just have more casual conversations and interviews. That's kind of what the Thursday show is going to be from now on. And I'm very excited to say that coming this coming Thursday, we're going to have a very special guest. Stephen Stanton joins the program. I'm very excited. We'll be having him on talking all things Tarkin. And all kinds of stuff that he's up to. A really, really awesome fellow and part of the Star Wars community. But enough about that. Let's get into the main program, and that is, Bethany, where did we go this weekend? I'm trying to.
I think we drove somewhere.
We did.
Yeah, a lot of hours spent in the car. Mm-hmm. We went to Disney. So our primary reason of going to Disney, of course, was the Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds Memorial, which was incredible.
It was.
Which was, I think it struck a perfect tone, and it was needed, I think.
Yeah, I think it, because Disney has become such a central part of our Star Wars experience, but it wasn't to begin with. So let's rewind, Bethany. I want to ask you what... we find ourselves now, I say, where Disney has now become a home to us as Star Wars fans, because it's now a central part of our experience, right? Our fandom, the biggest events and the most fun we have and when we see the most friends these days in the last couple of years has been at Walt Disney World, and it's become such a central part. When was that and why was that? Because was that part of the Disney buy, or was that likely to happen anyway?
I think eventually it would have happened anyway with Star Wars Weekends, but I think it happened at some point because we had an entire really large group of friends going to Star Wars Weekends in 2015, I believe it was. And
yeah, I think it's even older than that. It may have been more like 2013 or 2014. Yeah.
But we couldn't go those first few times.
Yep. I always remember hearing about it. Yeah,
we would hear about it, like, oh, wish we could go, and we couldn't really go. And then finally, eventually, we're like, okay, we got to make it out this year because almost everybody we know is going, and it's going to be so much fun, and we've never been to Disney before, and you kind of have to go to Disney at some point.
Yeah.
If you live on a coast, you have to go to Disney at some point.
Yeah, and I think that's kind
make
of the
pilgrimage.
That's that's the context I kind of wanted to put on our conversation as we kind of tell you guys about our trip. Because rather than just recounting the events, because, man, it was an incredible trip, and especially the tribute. That was a really cool thing. But I find myself often as a Star Wars fan looking for an excuse to go. And it's unique from Star Wars Celebration because Star Wars Celebration is special, in my opinion, because of the friends that we've made and the experiences we share there. It is Star Wars Central. That's where you see the big announcement trailers. That's where it's this flashpoint of fandom, and that's what it's become for us. But Disney World, whether it's Star Wars Weekends or even just like this past summer, we did like a non-Star Wars weekend where just a bunch of friends picked a weekend in the summer to go since they were not doing Star Wars Weekends this past year. So I say all that to say Disney World has kind of become this more immersive, natural environment to almost like it's a retreat. Like in the almost pseudo-religious sense of it's a recharge of your fandom because it has become such Star Wars central. So if you're listening to this podcast and you've like never been to Disney World or you've been once and it's been years and years and years, it's fascinating to me how something that's become such a central part of popular culture and so many kids that grow up with it, this was my association with Disney early on. I'm like, well, that's the place where you go relive the Fox and the Hound and Little Mermaid because you watched a billion times as a kid, and it's nostalgia. Mm-hmm. But that's not it. That's not it. What it has become beyond that is by introducing Star Wars, and specifically at Hollywood Studios, having this incredible experience that they have with the launch bay, with Star Tours, with the Tatooine Trader Shop. It's just a immersive environment where you could never go on a roller coaster. You wouldn't even have to go to any of the restaurants or any of the special events, but you just take your kids and you go to like the lightsaber school, and they get to fight off Kylo Ren and Darth Vader, and it's just classical Star Wars fun that I remember as a kid playing, amplified by the millions of dollars that Disney spends on it. I don't know. Mark, you went to Disneyland a couple years ago. Was that, am I kind of tracking along? Was Disneyland your trip with your kids a time to kind of refresh your Star Wars fandom specifically?
Not just specifically that. I mean, you know, you can't help but go there, and everything that you've ever loved about Disney is touched on to some way. I mean, we went to California Adventures, and there was this whole, I don't know if it was the Experian. I can't remember what it was called, but we went in this one place and it had these giant theater screens all the way around the room. And it was going through all these different Disney movies from Mary Poppins to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I mean, all sorts of old ones to newer ones. We had Aladdin on there all the way up to Frozen. And it was just one of those great moments. I mean, we were watching it and I don't know, like you can't help but be swept away by everything there. And it is very similar to, like you said, Star Wars Celebration, where that's all specifically Star Wars. You don't necessarily get the same feel when it comes to the way Star Tours is set up at Disneyland, which is where I'm interested with you guys coming across Disney World, because you now have that comparison. I mean, it looked like you guys were out at the Endor Forest, which gave it a very environmental look.
Yeah.
Which the Disneyland has a very utopian kind of feel to it, because it's sharing its space with Tomorrowland. It's got the Avengers area. You've got the Buzz Lightyear thing. So, you know, it's got that future tech to it, but it's not quite 100% Star Wars themed until you walk into Star Tours.
Yeah.
So it definitely seems like Disney World has that going on a much larger scale, which is what Disneyland gets right with the other things, which I can't wait for when we get Disneyland, Star Wars Land, because that's basically what you're going to get is like what they did with Cars Land. You know, I mean, that it was such a great addition. I mean, that's been a lot of fun to go and explore each time we go there. You know, we don't hit all the rides there each time because a lot of them are very popular and they have a lot of lines. So we go and do different things. But every time we go there, there's a little one of those little vendors, the little cones, and they have these special drinks. And I always tell myself I want to go and get those. And it's those kind of things that I really get a kick out of that I never think about. Like, I'll get one or two of, but you could do it for almost anything you like. Like, if it's Cars, whether it be the Bugs Life or the Star Wars stuff, there's a cup for you.
Yeah.
You can get it all, man.
This episode of the Star Wars Report podcast is brought to you by Geek Fuel. They ship out a mystery box for geeks, gamers, and Star Wars fans. Each month, they have at least $50 worth of values for just $15 plus shipping and handling. This mystery box includes an exclusive t-shirt and a total of 5 to 7 geeky items. Get your free bonus Star Wars item when you go to geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report. That's geekfuel.com/Star Wars Report.
So Bethany, kind of explain a little bit in that context that I kind of, pardon the lengthy setup, with that perspective on what Disney's like, we made the road trip down, and tell us about it.
The road trip was a bit long, but I mean, not as long as some, but it was a bit of a way, it's a bit of a drive. And we made it there Friday evening, got up Saturday morning, went to Animal Kingdom first, which was mine and Riley's first time there.
Yep.
Rode the safari ride, which was really cool. You know, seeing real live lions and these other things reminded me of, it was as if we were being bussed around a zoo, which I wasn't expecting it to be that cool. Then we did the Everest ride, which was also a lot of fun. And then we headed over to Hollywood Studios, went around, rode Star Tours, saw different people that we knew. We saw Savannah Kiefer and some of her friends. We spent the day mostly with Grace and with Lillian, who are also huge Star Wars fans.
Yes. It was such a good time.
That was a lot of fun. but closer towards the end of the day, at about 6:30, we headed over for the Carrie Fisher tribute. And this was where we had a stage set up in the center of Hollywood Studios with two big screens as well that could play stuff. And a huge crowd with a ton of lightsabers and umbrellas showed up just as it was starting to get dark to pay tribute. And it was incredible. I'll let Riley kind of describe how the event started off with Mark Daniel.
Speaking of Star Wars, one of the hosts over at Star Wars Celebration, he works with DJ Elliot to get the crowd going at the pre-show for the main stage. Mark Daniel was there, and he had this really touching introduction that they played for Debbie and Carrie with the huge crowd gathered, and it was I was kind of expecting maybe like a melancholy montage or something like that to tribute to Carrie, and Debbie Reynolds, because there were umbrellas there, of course, for Singing in the Rain and all kinds of lightsabers. And I was thinking of like some sort of like almost like raise your lightsabers like lighters, which didn't happen at that point. In fact, they just had a very kind of tasteful, beautiful portrait of the two of them. And Mark Daniel introduced a unique mashup, a song that had been specifically recorded and produced. I forget the artist that he named, which makes me feel really bad. It was beautiful, of this mashup of Singing in the Rain done to the tune as sort of a counter melody to the Star Wars main theme. And it was all kind of a cappella, and it was produced, and they played it. It wasn't even like the full song or anything. It was very brief but touching. And at the end, everyone raised their lightsabers in the air and kind of salute, and that was the moment. It was not too somber. It was a very kind of an expression of everyone appreciating what the two of them have meant to popular culture, and I really in the context of the environment at Disney, just fit in beautifully. I was really really impressed with the way they did it, and that's where it's been. It was such a specifically these two women, and especially Carrie Fisher. The event made me really pause and think about Carrie's role in the fan community, because I've been intimately familiar with it because of how long I've been doing the show and how long I've been going to Celebration and seeing her. But it's different for me, right? Because as a guy, I didn't really have, I think, a full grasp of what Carrie meant to the fangirl community, because, and this is the reality of it, I think of the fangirl community as something newer, as something I associate with Ashley Eckstein and her universe. And that's so true. But man, I realized that Carrie really laid the foundation for that in such a unique and Carrie Fisher way. And it wasn't like the tribute. It wasn't the video or the lightsabers. Honestly, it was hanging out with you and Lillian and Grace. And I tweeted something earlier today because I've been thinking a lot about it. But it was a really unique experience because I literally spent the weekend hanging out. I don't even like to say fangirls, but I was just hanging out with some of the most amazing creative women I've ever been around, and just spending time at Disney with them in a really unique way that I've never did.
All day and most of the next day.
Exactly.
With exclusively fans who were girls, basically.
And it was like, and I think in a healthy way, I think it really helped me appreciate the tribute that much more, because it really gave me a renewed respect and appreciation for not just her universe, the clothing brand, or what it's done, what Ashley Eckstein's done for the community in terms of hosting or in terms of things she's done for writing or StarWars.com or her company, but really the community that she built. It didn't just like appear out of nowhere when she started her universe. In the conversations I was having throughout the weekend, I was realizing just how much effort Ashley's put over time into personally connecting with the fangirl community. And so I think it was just, at the risk of sounding almost too melancholy, but I can't say this any other way than it really made me stop and consider just how what a powerful, powerful force this movement has become in the fan community, in a way that I couldn't even begin to hope to understand until really the events of this weekend. And am I talking out of school, Bethany? Do you kind of does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense. I will clarify, it's always difficult to understand something that you don't personally experience.
Yeah,
you can empathize with it.
Sure.
You can,
yeah. Exactly.
Mentally and emotionally, put yourself in somebody else's shoes to imagine it. And this is one reason why imagination and why I think science fiction and fantasy are so important for humans, is because it allows us to see the rest of the world in ways that aren't our own ways.
Exactly.
And I think that you had this experience over the weekend where hearing super long conversations between, you know, us and Grace and Lillian and Tracy and Savannah and a number of other different people, you got to hear long form and not just snippets of, you know, what the perspective of being a girl in the fan community is like, because it's not all roses and petals. It's not all her universe and glitter.
It's so true. So true. So true.
Bethany, I miss having you on the show.
I know. Yeah, we got to get you on more often here. I'm glad to have you dedicated just for not just the news, but to actually talk about this kind of stuff, because I was the other thing I was thinking about is the and by the time this podcast goes live, there's going to be a lot more details out. But I'm working with Amanda at Amanda the Ginger on Twitter. I met her at Celebration Europe. Really, this really awesome lady who's putting together an incredible, like, guys, you have no idea, an incredible tribute to a charity gala that she's putting together in tribute to Carrie Fisher. And a lot of the details are coming out, and man, I'm just lucky that we're kind of involved in this, and we're certainly going to be there and promoting it throughout the coming weeks. So stay tuned, but it's going to be absolutely amazing, and I'm just looking forward to it that much more now. I do also, Bethany, I do want to ask you specifically about touch base on some Rogue One items, but also. Mm-hmm. The Star Wars Celebration, I think, is actually specifically what I want to hit on before we go.
Really?
We've got a couple minutes left in the podcast, and we've got the beginnings of plans formulating. So we're going to kind of touch base with you guys on that.
It's going to be an on-air planning meeting?
something along those lines.
Airing all of our celebration secrets
exactly.
to the public.
Exactly. We'll do it right after this.
You're listening to the Star Wars Report. Why, you stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder.
That's right. We are a little bit scruffy-looking. But hey, it's been a long weekend of driving and Disney.
I feel scruffy-looking right now.
Exactly. Let's take a second to thank a sponsor for this podcast episode. And of course, that's Entertain Art, official, licensed, and ready-to-hang wall art from Disney, Marvel, DC, and so many other studios. Entertain Art's awesome. They're run by a passionate team of really creative folks who put together a great product. High-quality canvas, both regular and metallic, embellished products, more than 1,000 designs at StarWarsReport.com/art. Make sure that when you head over there, you use discount code SWR20. They're going to give you 20% off your order. That's 20%. Really great offer. Go to StarWarsReport.com/art. StarWarsReport.com/art. And we thank Entertain Art for sponsoring the Star Wars Report podcast. All right, let's talk about Celebration here. We have plans. Instead of getting into the specifics, because we don't have all of it. Of course, we got the Carrie tribute. There's the 501st party going on. There's all kinds of stuff. We're going into town early. We're going to be going to Disney. There's all kinds of really cool stuff that we're going to be doing. But I actually just want to take a minute and get Bethany's advice. And we'll do this as a final segment. Bethany, what are like the top, if for people who have been to Celebration once, maybe a long time ago, or maybe they haven't even been yet, especially for people who are taking their family. The family. Sorry, I had to do it.
Don't do it. Don't take your family. Go alone.
Let's get everyone's top recommendation. All right. No one can pick the same one. Bethany gets first dibs. Bethany, what's your top recommendation for something that you might not think of if you're going to Celebration that you should focus on as far as to get the most out of the experience?
Something that you wouldn't think of and that I certainly didn't think of when I first, like my first two celebrations really, was the closing ceremonies. I was just like, yeah. I mean, what is this? You're just saying bye?
Yeah.
I'm just going to go and like hang out in the Celebration store for an hour and like get last minute deals and stuff,
yeah,
which
exactly.
is also possible, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, you can,
but
yeah.
The closing ceremonies is one of the best ways to cap off Celebration and have closure from it. And if that sounds silly, just think back on all the times that you either couldn't go to a convention and felt really blue about it, or you, when you went to a convention and then felt blue about it ending for like 2 weeks afterwards. So...
Yeah.
The closing ceremonies to me feels like a really great way to end a Star Wars celebration. It would be
good.
Like
yeah,
watching a Star
so
Wars movie, and then right before the end credits came on, you hit pause and you just stopped.
It's like, you know, it's like in the Misasi jungle in A New Hope. It'd be you hear the dun da da dun, and then it just cuts off.
Yes, exactly. It's like you're just crying
no!
for this thing, and then it's gone, and you just feel this sense of loss, and you're just like, what?
Yeah, it's so true. Bruce, you've been too quiet. You're getting ready to go to Celebration. This is not your first one, but any recommendations?
Yeah, this will be my third one. I'm so proud to say
Aww.
That. It doesn't seem that long ago when I was like, oh, I want to go to a Celebration. Now I've been to
yes.
two.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. So my recommendation, you know what? I'm going to counter what Bethany said and said the opening ceremony.
Yes. Yes.
That. I mean, just even listening to the last Thursday show with the reveal of the teaser trailer for The Force Awakens, it started to bring tears to my eyes again. I cannot see that trailer without thinking back to that opening ceremony in Anaheim and getting choked up. I mean, yes. And not only just going to the opening ceremony, it's getting there early and standing in line and meeting all these other fans. And you're standing there for hours. And I'm still in touch with the people I met in line. And we're going to get together in Orlando when we're down there. Nice. So it's really awesome. I made some friends in line. It's a great experience.
Line family. Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, I remember the Celebration 5, our first celebration, when we lined up to see George Lucas at 3 o'clock in the morning or something.
Yeah.
There.
I think I half fell asleep.
I know.
When we were back to back and I was like.
Yeah, it was tough, but it was so euphoric at the end. Yeah. Mark, you went to your first celebration last year. I know you won't be able to go to this one, but I have a question for you. What were an event that, because I know you had your family with you. What was the hit with the kids?
The kids, actually, they just loved going on the floor. They walked around with my wife. So we did the Force United. And when I got there, I tackled my time right away. I wanted to get it done and get it over with. I was excited to do it, but I was like, okay, well, this is going to tie me to the booth, you know? And it was something I'd never done before. So I was like super excited to do it. So while I was doing that, my wife took the kids and they went around taking pictures and they actually got really close to Carrie Fisher. My wife chose that opportunity to get us the meeting with Mark Hamill. Nice. We almost got to do both the twins, but it was just out of our price range. So I think that was the big thing, was I didn't expect things to be as much as they were. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did for the most part, but they all got a kick out of that. Seeing everybody in costume, just standing in line, seeing people in costume. When me and my son, when we were waiting to watch, the Bad Batch episodes, we were hanging out with the We Talk Clones guys, now Ion Canon on our own network. And we had, Matthew Wood was sitting in line right behind us with his son. I didn't even realize it at the time. I was just like totally floored. And then, okay. So they had that podcaster meet and greet that they did. And when that was done, I was walking back to my hotel because I couldn't figure out how to do Uber. And I was honestly like, okay, at this rate, by the time I do Uber, I'm going to get kidnapped. So I'm like, I'm just going to walk to the hotel, despite my wife's multiple warnings. And I walk out there, and there is Henry Gilroy talking to Pablo Hidalgo, who I had been introduced to that day, thanks to the We Talk Clone folks. I was just like, oh, my God. So they're talking about camping. Pablo hates camping. So I'm like, I'm Scouter. I'm like, Pablo, you got to go camping in the caves, you know. So I got to talk to them for a little bit. And then Pablo turned off at one of the first hotels, and I walked with Henry for quite a while. We were just chit-chatting about different things, camping and stuff.
No nature. Way.
It was crazy. Crazy.
We had the privilege of meeting Henry Gilroy at this past DragonCon. I'd never met him before. Super cool guy.
He's so nice.
Yeah, and really nice. Willing to talk to the fans. Like, he just showed up at one of the Rebels panels and just talked to us. He just, like, showed up at the panel.
Like,
and said,
I was
hey.
I was on a panel with Henry Gilroy.
Exactly.
Like, hi, Henry.
And it was a fan panel. And he just
I was
showed
the
up.
Moderator of that panel.
Yeah. Nice.
Exactly. It was incredible. Nice.
So like, my advice for somebody...
Wait, I think I know it's your advice. Go ahead. But if it's not what you say, I'm going to say it for you.
Okay. Well, so what I've noticed, it's a lot like yours, Bruce, where, you know, everybody you've ran into, those friendships, they've lasted and stuff. And for me, it was at that podcaster meet and greet. But what I didn't have the opportunity to do, because I didn't think I could afford it afterwards. I was like, you know, I probably could have afforded it. And it's the 501st bash. I mean, I think you have the opportunity to rub elbows with so many celebrities, you know, other fans that I myself look up to and stuff, other podcast hosts and stuff, other, you know, it was just the amount of people that were at those parties blew my mind. And I had kind of scoffed at the price at first, but when you think about that, you know, the odds that you're going to run into somebody, like, you know, you could possibly run into Mark Hamill even, you know, $150-$200, that's not that much. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, that is definitely something I would do differently. I would go to those type of events in addition to what's going on at the actual celebration.
No, I agree with you. And I've already bought my 501st bash tickets for this one. I know it gets expensive, but you got to do it.
I'm saving my pennies, Bruce. I'm getting there.
Save the pennies. Sell cans.
Save the dreams.
It's the dream.
Save the pennies.
So, Mark, here's what I thought your advice was going to be. Because when you were talking, the advice that I got from your experience is, if you go to Star Wars Celebration, don't take Uber. Because you never know who you're going to run into.
That's
Scott
true.
Reifen
well, and then I did. It was taking my family. We combined trips. You know, we went to Disneyland. We typically go to Disneyland about every 2 years since we started going when I was 33. That was my first time. So I was like, I taste the magic. I've got to ride that rainbow from here on out.
Yeah.
But we and my family and I both agreed we will not go as a collective to that event again. You know, like if I go, I may take one of the kids or two of the kids or maybe even all three of the kids, but all of us as a collective, it was just too much chaos. And my wife said, you know, like she enjoyed it, but she'd rather me have more fun than worry.
We did.
I was worried about them having fun more often than I was having as much fun. So that kind of got in the way. So, you know, if you haven't ever done it and you're thinking about bringing your family and your family's not quite as into Star Wars as you, you may just want to say, you know, hey, guys, so maybe we just don't all go and maybe I'll go. And you could just geek out shamelessly.
Or go ahead and, like, if plan, your family plan. Or your friends or your spouse or whoever is new to conventions and you don't know if they're that interested or excited, like if they're not just dead set on going all of the days, have them just go Sunday or just go Saturday.
Yeah, pick a day and even don't go to opening and stay till closing. Like pick a few specific events, hit the floor, you know, get dip your toes in.
Yeah.
That's definitely my recommendation.
I do have, I think, the top three time-saving tips that are super fast.
Okay,
one is from Steve Glosson that we experienced, which is if there are multiple panels and they have like 2-hour lines, 3-hour lines, 4-hour lines, pick the one or two panels that you want to go to the most and stand in line for those. But don't give up on the other panels. Let's say that you waited like 4 hours in line to see George Lucas or something like that, which happens. So you get into George Lucas and you're like, oh man, now I missed my opportunity. It's half an hour until Mark Hamill's panel. There's no way I'm going to get in.
Yeah.
Wait until like 10 minutes after the panel has started.
Yep.
And then see if you can get in. Because if they didn't fill up all of the seats,
they'll let you walk
in. They will let you walk in.
And they almost never fill all the seats.
Yeah.
Because you have to, here's what's worse. Do you break fire code or do you have a couple empty seats in the back? And that's what the people are thinking.
And they are always going to lean
you
towards a couple empty seats because if they don't, they get in huge trouble. So wait until like 5 or 10 minutes when the panel has started.
And in those big theaters,
and then try to go in.
Exactly. In those big theaters, by the way, like they'll even be sometimes a standby line that forms. Like wait to 10 minutes after, get in that line. Usually it's like 30 people or something, and they usually have that many seats that they just kind of funnel you in. That was definitely our experience. You got two more?
The other one is don't line up at the convention at the start of the day.
Yes.
So like when everybody, let's say the convention floor opens at 10 a.m. or 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Don't line up an hour early to try to get in super fast unless you're a hardcore collector who really needs to get an item that you know is going to sell out fast. But if you're not a hardcore collector and you don't need those items, wait until 10:10. And then you literally just walk in after the crowds.
Yes, literally. It takes them 10 minutes to let everybody in. It's seriously, do not waste
your
time.
So you're waiting in line for like an hour or 2 hours when you could literally just walk in 10 minutes late and have no line.
Unless you're a big collector that wants like the exclusive merchandise. But if you are, I do have a solution for that. Don't. Because it's not worth it. And this is Riley's
Sabine.
Opinion. This is Riley's
I looked at
opinion.
Sabine. They had her going for $80 at the cheapest I could find her at that time.
See,
and that's a 5 points articulation.
No, see, this is Riley's opinion. Obviously, this does not represent the opinion of Bethany or Mark or anybody or the Star Wars Report. But seriously, like, don't go after exclusive convention merchandise. Because it's just like, I mean, I guess if you really like the thrill.
If you would rather do that. Then see Mark Hamill or do most of the panels. Like if collecting is your number one Star Wars passion, then do it. But otherwise, it's going to be expensive. You're going to wait a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I've seen, like me and Riley as press, got in early a couple of times to different conventions. When that line of hardcore collectors
comes in. The last day of Celebration Anaheim?
It is like the zombie apocalypse. Like me and Riley literally ran the opposite direction.
Yeah, so can I, just a pardon the brief departure, Bethany.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I'll never forget because we were setting up some interviews. So we were going to do some interviews and we were just standing off kind of towards the autograph hall, which is about, I'd say, 40 to 50 feet from the main entry doors, series of doors they have.
To like the actual huge celebration store and everything.
And it's just like, it was sort of like the in A New Hope when the door opens partly and you see the stormtrooper boots trying to make it through and they realize they have to jump across quickly. Like that was us, because once those doors opened, literally 300 or 400 people just burst through, shoving each other side to side, pushing each other around, and sprinting as if this were an Olympic sport.
Yeah.
I was just like, like the person behind, if you were in that line and you weren't like in front of the doors, everyone's just like zoom out of there. And you just have to be like, yo, freeze before you reach the third marker. It's just a bad, I don't want to paint all collectors like that, but it's a part of, it's an element of the convention scene that I don't personally value, and I'm just going to evangelize. That's going to be me. I'm Riley.
So to kind of jump on your bandwagon, so you're not alone in that. I mean, I am someone that has ran that gauntlet, you know,
yeah.
Ran with the bulls, so to speak. And the part of it that drives me nuts is that feeling of paranoia that I get that you know, the exclusive one is going to be gone, that there isn't one for me. And what drives me nuts is when there's somebody that gets there and they're buying like 5 of and 15 of. It's nice when the conventions take that into consideration and limit it to like one per person kind of thing. And you have to come back like the next day or something, or later in the afternoon to get another one if that was the case. Because when somebody's walking out and you're just getting there and they're walking out with like crates of one of the same thing,
full.
You're like, what?
Yeah, no.
It just kills me.
Well, and that's what I do appreciate is that now that conventions have realized that happens, they have started putting those measures in place. So it is more manageable. The crowds are friendlier because they realize that, you know, it's not all going to sell out right away. That said, some of the exclusive stuff will sell out. But if you don't have lots of money like me, or you're not a hardcore collector, my final tip is wait until the last 2 hours of the convention. Hit the celebration store and start asking non-official sellers. And this goes for any convention you have.
That's
discounts.
And if you want collectibles, that's the time to get it. But when it comes to the rat race of
every
the exclusive and
Con,
the feeling of paranoia for exclusive merchandise, I just have one message, and that is, that's all you got to do. That's all I can play, or Facebook will kick us off for copyright reasons. But that's also good advice, Anthony. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've gotten multiple items that I would not have been able to afford by the last 2 hours of a convention, going around and just bargaining with the sellers.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Because a lot of this stuff is actually inflated prices.
So let me ask you about the celebration store, because the last two celebrations I've been to, I have not been able to get into the store because the wait has been several hours long. Do you guys have any advice about that? Do you ever go to the store?
Yeah.
Fears and once controlled me.
That's my advice. That's that's all you got to do.
I would try to pick a time. If you really want to get in the store, but it's not your highest priority and you don't want to wait 4 hours, pick one panel to sacrifice, a bigger panel.
Yeah.
And decide not to go to that panel or to leave. Like,
or do it
half
last day.
An hour through it. Yeah.
Sunday. I would say go to the store the first day, though, because I did not do that. And when we did, there was no line, but there was really nothing there. In fact, most of the things that were in the store at Celebration Anaheim were being sold at Celebration London because they had so many. It was insane.
Yeah,
I
went the last
like,
day. I went the last day of Anaheim.
Yeah.
Same thing. I went there and all the shelves were practically empty. It was just a few.
Yeah, Anaheim. That was kind of funny. I went there the last day and it was a desert. It was like, like a Blockbuster Video 3 years after they'd closed. It was just
the Jawas came here, man.
Like,
they raped.
Why
this
is
the
VHS tape of Dirty Dancing in here? I don't know.
I bought that.
And if I can make a side note as well, because I've noticed this is becoming an issue, you can ask, obviously, your close personal friends or people who you know who are happy to buy you items.
I know where you're going with this.
From conventions. But don't just at mention or comment on people's Instagram and Twitter accounts.
Wait,
please get me this.
You don't just
and
find.
If I don't know you, and I have a limited, all that we've been talking about is a limited amount of time to do things. You know, I'm not going, you know, I'm not
although
going to like spend so much extra time and money buying something for somebody that I don't know who might not come through and pay me for it.
Well, and you know? you're giving me an idea, and that is we should. Oh, I'm realizing my phone is kind of. Oh, there we go. this is an excellent business opportunity.
Unless you're
what
like,
if what if you're like
15% charge?
What if you become the official like go to Celebration professional shopper? You get all the pleasure of obtaining the
like
items.
A personal shopper.
Our boss and spies.
What?
They're shopping now.
Can you imagine? That guy would make a fortune. All you do is comment on his Instagram. Hey, can you get me the exclusive Kylo Ren? And he does. He just started. Yes, that'll be a 20% surcharge, sir. And
how bad do you want it?
you pay.
There
for
you go, Riley. That's how you can make money. Do you go to the 501st Bash?
Oh, there.
Yeah.
Oh, there yeah. you go. You know what? I'm official. I am your celebration shopper, folks. Email us starwarsreport@gmail.com. And I will just do nothing but shopping. It'll be great.
Don't
as you can tell
him.
From the beginning of this segment, how much Riley would be excited about this prospect of fighting through the line to try to get the exclusive.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you definitely would do that,
oh,
wouldn't you?
In a heart. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's
I think
thing.
Riley's heart rate just went up.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of nervous now, guys. Yeah, no, that's some excellent advice, Bethany. Let's tell you what. Why don't we get you back on the show next week or the week after, depending on how the scheduling goes.
Well, next week because we have...
We have Stephen Stanton on next week, but maybe the week after we'll get you on and we'll do another segment and we'll kind of organize a series... and we'll release them as standalone podcasts in the feed. Or maybe that's what we'll dedicate to the Thursday show to. We may even like drop some mini segments and maybe do a condensed version of it, something along
that's
those lines,
idea.
Just to really have
I'd love to
celebration
get some other people, if you want to and can, who've been to conventions we haven't been to go ahead and touch on this topic as well. Because like every convention has taught me something new about conventions, not just
Oh, man,
like,
remember Jimmy Mack when he was talking about Celebration Japan? That was so interesting. I was like,
yeah,
Celebration Japan. That right there is that. That's like going to the celebration and going to the 501st Bass just in general. You're like, you want to bump into Dave Filoni? Go to Japan.
Japan.
That's all you got to do. Excellent life advice for all of us. Now, I'll tell you what, folks. I'm going to do something a little special here. Normally, I'm playing like the outro music, and I'm like, well, that's all we have time for, folks. But that's actually not what I'm going to do. Scott Rifen's in the chat. He says, Jekyll Comic Con. There we go. There we go. A segment that's a very specific side of the country, sir. But we could do it.
Yeah.
We could get
yeah.
Scott on to talk Jekyll Comic Con.
I think it's called Jekyll Con or Jekyll On, like Jekyll Rock On.
Jekyll On. I'll tell you what I'm going to do
off
is
the Jekyll On train.
Exactly. What I'm going to do is I'm going to open up my phone because I have here in my hand. I haven't had time because we were gone at Disney all week.
Looks like a phone.
I do actually. It's look at that. It's real, folks. It's not fake. It's not a prop. But
see, look, I'm touching it too.
I have in
Does
my
this
hand
bother
here.
You? Does this bother?
Oh dear God. I have in my hand. Brand new audio production. And normally I would play the regular outro music.
I know this.
But so instead, I'm going to play
a
brand new from scratch produced Star Wars Report edition. No vocals, fully produced Farm Boy by High Adventure. That's right. The song that we've been using, I just kind of did a cheap little filter on Audacity, and I try to incorporate into the show. They produced some incredible raw audio that I'm going to be cutting up for show transitions, the intro, the outro.
Nice.
And they did this incredible rendition of the song.
And Breaker Breaker, hey, this is Riley. I just wanted to jump in and give appropriate shout-outs to two amazing people who actually made this happen. Thank you to Glenn Nelson and Todd Howard, who did this amazing remix.
So without further ado, let's tell people where they can find the show, and we'll start. Now we're talking. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very sad to bring this podcast episode to a close, but unfortunately we must. That's right, folks. This has been the Star Wars Report podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. Everybody on the live Facebook feed, stay tuned. We're getting ready to record the Monday edition, the full show. But thanks for listening to this episode. Everybody on the podcast, make sure you stay connected. Email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com. Give us suggestions. If you've been to Celebration or you want, if you have questions about Star Wars Celebration, email us, starwarsreport@gmail.com, starwarsreport@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Twitter. It's @StarWarsReport. And, of course, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport, where we're streaming live. we haven't really been that good at nailing down a schedule, but it'll be sometime during the weekend, and that's the plan. Like we'll be nailing down a time very soon. It's going to be Friday evenings, usually 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But we'll be working on those details. Make sure you subscribe to our Facebook page. And also, fun little tip. You can actually, when you go to our page, you can click on the menu when you go to facebook.com/StarWarsReport and hit turn notifications on. And that way, if we go live to do the podcast, you'll see it right there on your smartphone, which is super, super easy to do. Let's get ready to get the personal plugs right now. But I have to enjoy some of that. Awesome. High Adventure. Mark Herleman, tell people where they can find you online.
Illogical Rogue 2.
Yes.
Anywhere.
Everywhere. Bruce Gibson, where can folks find you?
You can find me at Admiral_Rex.
Yes, do it on Twitter. And, of course, check out Literary Treks, the podcast. You can find Bruce hosting that. Bethany, where can folks find you online?
You can find me at Bethany L. Blanton on Twitter, on Instagram. You can find me on Snapchat. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me everywhere and anywhere on the internet, just about.
Bethany L. Blanton. And, of course, I'm on Twitter, at The Riley Guy. Same for Instagram and Snapchat. Make sure that you follow our Instagram. I'm posting on our Instagram story a lot more. That's been a lot of fun. But I'll tell you what, that's it, folks. Until next time. This has been the Star Wars Report Podcast. May the Force be with you. And remember, many Bothans die to bring you this podcast. Folks, we'll see you next week. Until next time. Man, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm forgetting something, though. Thank you for listening to the Star Wars Report Podcast. Remember, the opinions on this podcast are not the opinions of High Adventure or Read Pop or Star Wars Celebration. They're just the opinions of a couple crazy Star Wars fans. And Celebration exclusive collectors, I forgive you. I just want you to know, I love you. I really do. I do. I promise. I do.
Please forgive him. He knows not what to do.
You know what, Riley? One of these days, you are going to have a confession session that you then understand collectors.
Oh, that, yeah, that's true. One of these days.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
All right. Well, you know it'll happen when I have actual money. Once I actually go active duty with the Air Force and actually have a paycheck that's more substantial than the one I have.
I'll suddenly be like,
ooh, that exclusive Kylo Ren looks pretty cool. Well,
you know, all you have to do is reach right behind you with your left arm and right next to the lightsabers, grab that Commander Bly and pull it towards yourself and really just look at it hard, longingly. Have a momentary romance, just you and him, one-on-one. Look into his soul and realize you need more.
Mark, you're a terrible influence. Bethany, unfortunately, you have to roll out of here before we record the Wayne Weekly Show.
I do, yeah. Yep.
Which I feel bad about, but we'll have you back on soon.
I have an 18-hour day tomorrow, folks.
You're going to be up at Georgia Tech. So unfortunately, we won't keep you any later, but we'll be in touch as we get ready to do the main show. That's right, folks. If you're listening to the Facebook feed, we're about to do another show. That's right. That's how amazing it is.
Meanwhile, peace out for me.
That's a double barrel shotgun.
It's been great. This sounds weird.
That is weird.
Bye-bye. All right. I'm not going to waste time because I just realized we're running a little late. So We're only going to get like a 45-minute main show, which I don't know how long we just went. So the two shows this week are going to be about the same. But Mark, 55. If you want to hit up the Twitter and let folks know that we're still live, we're getting ready to do the main show, and you know.